Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
You don't have anything. You can't escape. Take the sack, live to play another down, and move on.
We're also joined on a regular basis by 49ers quarterback C.J. Beathard.
Being the backup quarterback, you've got to prepare as if you are the guy because you're a play away from being in there.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Coming up, we'll talk to Steve about the 49ers' 29-27 loss in L.A. to the Chargers. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Well, Steve, it was certainly a roller coaster ride in L.A. for the San Francisco 49ers and the Chargers. I mean, a game where the 49ers took the early lead. They were up 14-0. They saw the Chargers reel off 20 straight points at one point. It looked like they were in control. The 49ers came back. So, you know, even though the 49ers lost the game, at least they were in it, you know, with their backup quarterback, C.J. Beathard. And, you know, it seemed to me like he played pretty well. He got beat up, but he definitely played pretty well. What'd you think?
He did play well, and as I thought he would, as I know we talked about last week, I thought he played well. They need to give him a little bit more help. When they needed to make a play, they didn't quite get it done. That's kind of the impression I came away with.
Yeah, they certainly were hurting. I mean, they had so many injuries on the offensive line to lose.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, especially Joe Staley, but Richburg, McClinchy, those guys all went out.
Yeah. They had a bunch of injuries. Now, actually, I haven't looked to see injury report, update-wise.
Well, apparently for Staley, it's not a knee tear, so he's still questionable, but at least he's not going to be out for a long period of time. And it's the same with Richburg and McClinchy. They're all questionable with knee injuries. I mean, it's scary to think about all those guys being out, but that's the report.
You need them all. They need them all. They for sure need Staley.
Right.
I mean, he's just too valuable.
Well, speaking of valuable, when you lose your starting quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo, you certainly don't want to lose your number two guy, and we mentioned he played well in C.J. Beathard, and we'll talk about how he played, but, I mean, he is risking injury by the way he's playing. I mean, he's getting hit on normal dropbacks, but also the way he's scrambling around and trying to run for yardage. What did you think of that?
Kyle's heart was probably in his throat when he takes that hit to the shoulder, you know, trying to get the first down and sliding, you know, not sliding, you know, trying to dive for it, and takes that hit kind of right in the chest, ribs, shoulder area, and that hurt. You can talk to him, but I don't want to take too much of that away from him because I mean that's just part of who he is as a quarterback. I mean he can be a little smarter about it, but he did some good things with his feet. You know, running, you know, getting close to first downs, getting first downs. He was impressive.
He was. Well, let's listen to what Kyle Shanahan had to say about C.J. Beathard and the safety issue versus trying to make a play.
C.J. is very important to us. We want him to stay healthy. We're going to do everything we can to coach him to do that. I know C.J. is going to work at it too. You know, there's times he's got to get down and give up on the play. And he knows that. I know that. It's going to be hard for me to really go too hard on him when it's 3rd and 5 and the game's on the line. I can sit there and do it, and he can say it. But most quarterbacks are going to attempt that in that situation. But he is too important for us to risk losing him in those situations, and all quarterbacks are. And I hope he can get better at it, and I hope we can help him.
I like what he said there, Steve, because it's true. I mean, you know, you want the guy to be safe, but at the same time, I mean, he's trying to make a play. I mean, it's hard to really gauge that, right?
Right. It's you know, he says it's third and five. I know what he's going to do. And hey, I've always said that, you know, we're trained as quarterbacks. It's always third and 10. You got to get the first down. So right. You're going to do whatever it takes to get the first down. You know, whether it's running the ball, throwing the ball, throwing it with your left hand.
like Patrick Mahomes,
last night. So you're just going to do whatever it takes. I mean, that's how we're wired.
Well, that hit, I mean, he took that hit from Casey Hayward on that scramble. They had Nick Mullins warming up. I thought he was out, but he had the wind knocked out of him.
I
wondered, Steve, do you remember like the one or two hardest hits that you ever took?
I do. unfortunately, I do.
What were those?
I think we talked about this. You may have asked me this before. My buddy often reminds me that we were playing in San Diego. I was playing with the Chiefs, playing in San Diego. Threw a pick. We're coming out, and I threw a pick to Junior, and he's maybe on the 30. When he picks it, and you know he's in the end zone before I even flinch, and I don't even chase after him, but Chris Mims hits me, and my buddy who was at the game is like, I think I thought you were dead for a few seconds.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Oh man.
But I think because I never saw it coming, you know, and I can say that I do remember getting up from it, but I don't really remember it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just because I you know, I was like, no, I didn't just do that. And, you know, like I said, didn't even chase after him. I'm sure I had a few other choice words, not those, but, there's other hits, but that's the one that, my buddy often reminds me of.
Yeah, those are tough. I mean, he got hit a bunch of times. I mean, they counted it, I guess, eight quarterback hits. So, you know, that's tough. But when he was upright and throwing the ball, I mean, there were some good moments, especially the George Kittle touchdown,
awesome.
Which I couldn't believe. I mean, in 49ers history, that was the longest touchdown catch by a tight end, 82 yards.
Yeah. I would have thought that Brent Jones would have had one of those in there somewhere.
Right.
He had some long ones. I know that. Obviously not 82 yards, but that was a sweet play and sweet to see the route in the replay that, you know, basically you're always running corner, kind of that high low and you know, kind of post corner post, so to speak. You don't usually see that run by a tight end. You see it run by a outside guy, a receiver.
Yeah, actually, let's hear Kyle Shanahan actually describe that play. Listen in.
It was his own play, so all he tried to do was not show that he was running a seam, so he ran a nod instead. When you run a seam, the safety carries you. When you run a 10-yard out, he doesn't. So he tried to make it look like that, and that's why he was wide open. It was zone coverage, and then it's up to CJ to look the middle third player off to get him to defend a go route, which was on the left side, and the line gave him enough time to move his eyes to the right, to the left, to come back to the right. So he moved the coverage well, which got Kittle open. So he was wide open just by the coverage and the quarterback, and then Kittle did the hell of a job making it into a touchdown.
It seems to me, Steve, like Beathard has improved a lot as far as looking off the defense. I mean, have you noticed that? What are some of the improvements that you have seen?
Well, I just think he's just more comfortable in the offense. And I know they were talking about it during the game. Might have been I think it was Lofton may have said it, that when they talked to him in the production meeting on Friday night or Saturday night, that he kind of said last year he was thinking, okay, what play am I running? What do I have to get to? You know, what routes are they running? And now he's, you know, he knows what routes are running. He knows the combinations. He knows his progressions. And he's just more comfortable in the system and can do more. I mean, you don't have to think as much. You just read and react.
Yeah.
And I think that definitely showed on Sunday.
49ers Extra continues right after this. There's more to tell you about as far as my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit TPC.com and click on Special Offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park. They definitely didn't run the ball as much as they had been. I mean, it seems like the running always helps the passing game. Breida had a couple of good runs where he broke out, but he just didn't have the same type of game like he's been having. Do you think they should have run the ball more?
I would have liked to have seen them run the ball more and establish that earlier. But I think with the injuries, it didn't necessarily lend itself to a cohesive offensive line, and opening those holes for Breida. Yeah, he had a few breakout runs late, and they seemed to establish it. But to me, it was really too late. It would have been nice to have that early and keep the ball away from the Chargers' offense.
Yeah, and they had a chance to win this game at the end. I mean, they had the ball there with 2:38 left, but the interception, and Beathard gets hit. There was a blitz. He just didn't pick it up. I mean, was that his fault, or whose fault do you think that is?
I would say, I mean, without sitting in film study with him, I would say that guy's his. Kind of that extra guy, extra fourth defender, third defender on that, really fourth defender on that side of the line of scrimmage. That guy belongs to the quarterback, because the tackle, the guard's covered, the tackle's covered. Hard to, line may have been going the other way. I don't remember exactly, depending on where that center is going, but my guess is that's his guy.
And that was the interception after Derwin James hit him. He just didn't get rid of, I guess you got to get rid of the ball quicker then.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to get to your hot guy or some, shallow crossing guy, that type of route runner.
Well, CJ ends up throwing for 298 yards, two touchdowns. Now, he had two interceptions, and one of them, that we just talked about, that was the end of the game. But there was one really that I thought was the game changer, Steve. It was the one that Garrett Celek didn't catch. I mean, it was in his hands. It popped out of his hands, and it turned into an 86-yard interception return for Williams, and that led to the field goal that made it 26-17. To me, that was the big play in the game in the third quarter.
I would completely agree with you, and there again, there's as I said in the very beginning, when they needed to make a play, they didn't quite seem to do it, and that's definitely one of them. Yes, a tough catch, but that's his job, and you expect that he's gonna get it done. And it was, unfortunate. That's an unfortunate deflection right into DB's hands, basically with some momentum going the other way.
Yeah, so was disappointing.
Yeah, it was. That was really hard. And then, soon as it went through his hands, I was, oh shoot, that's going to the house, and almost did. But then defense. I mean, defense was great. They go, they go three and out, make them kick a field goal. I mean, that's a win. That's a win for the defense.
That was one of the bright spots. I mean, yeah, the pick six they had early on with Exum, that was a real bright spot. It got them on the board 7-0. So overall, the 49ers had a decent defensive effort. But again, the tackling is an issue, I think, and we'll hear here from Kyle talks about it a little bit, but I want to hear what you think first, because it just seems like that's been a problem, throughout this season. They're not making the tackles, they're not wrapping up players consistently, and then that's going to hurt you. They're going to get those big plays.
Yeah, and I'm sure That's not necessarily an excuse for the 49ers. Part of it is probably, you know, everybody being concerned about, you know, where your head is, how you're hitting the guy, but they're just not running through some of those tackles. And there was one specific one that was to the Chargers left, the defense right. I think it was a pass play, short pass. Actually, I think he ends up running it in. But somebody's got a hold of him a little bit, but then the other guys are coming in. They're just trying to strip the ball out. I mean, they weren't even looking to make a tackle. You know, they're looking to rip the ball out. And I think part of that tackling issue, along with, you know, being worried about getting a penalty, where your head is the whole idea now of just go for the strip.
Right, you know, and that's too much of an emphasis, maybe?
It really might be. I mean, that seems, at least because I'm watching the Niner games closer than other games, that seems to be one of the reasons in my mind that tackles aren't being made. Now, just the opposite of that is if you see number 56 coming, and you know if you're a Niners defensive back, or you get the hell out of the way because he's gonna tackle you and the ball carrier.
Reuben Foster, yeah, he's not missing any tackles. No, it seems like he's doing a great job.
Oh, he's got a nose for the ball.
But the other guys, I mean, they're like one of them. I saw DJ Reed and it was Maben together. They both should have had Gordon, and he just broke through both of those guys. He broke like six tackles on that one run.
That might be the one I'm thinking of. It was in the I want to say it was in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he's just breaking a bunch of tackles. That's why he ended up with over 100 yards.
Yeah, but I think, like I said, part of it is that you know they're both going for the ball, and neither's trying to make the tackle.
That's a great point. Yeah, you can't just constantly go for the ball and try to cause a fumble. You still have to wrap the guy up.
Right. Right, exactly.
Well, let's hear what Kyle Shanahan had to say about the tackling.
I did think we improved in the tackling. I'll say that first. I think we made a big emphasis of it. I know it was important to our players also. I think they did a better job wrapping up there, especially in the first half. I think as they got worn down, I thought it was definitely not good enough there in the second half, especially in the fourth quarter. I think Gordon made a number of good runs where he ran hard, and we did not wrap up well. You know what I mean? We have 53 guys on our team, so we're going to put our best players out there every week. And I believe we took a step in the right direction. By no means is it good enough, and I think we'll continue to go in that direction and not take steps back.
Yeah, I think what he's saying about the first half, that's true. But when it really counted, when they really needed to stop the Chargers, they just couldn't.
They couldn't. I would completely agree with what he said. You know, they did wrap up and played better in the first half, and then, you start to get tired and get lazy and not bring your feet with you into a tackle and that's what happens. You get a guy that's running hard and he's keeping the chains moving, keeping the clock moving, and his offense on the field.
And the special teams didn't tackle so well either. That Desmond King 56-yard punt return, that was painful. That was on that drive that tied the game quarter. You got a tackle on that one, too.
I think that was the most critical part of the game. It was actually was at an event last night, and Ted Robinson was there, and that's what we were talking about, was those last 5 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes of the first half, where Niners are up, I think it was 14-3, I think it was 14-3, and then all of a sudden we're down 17-14 at half. Is that right?
It was 14-6 at the end of the quarter, and in the 14, first quarter. And
okay,
then,
then
eventually it was 17-6 after that long drive, the 10-minute, 44-second drive. But then, the Chargers, they ended up with a touchdown, missed PAT, and then the field goal at the end of the quarter.
Right.
So,
okay.
So the last 9 points,
16-14. Yeah. Is that right? 16-14, I think.
Let's see. They tied it up at the end of the half. So.
Oh, it was tied. Okay, that's right. It was tied. That's right. They went for two, and tied it up. But the point being is that, you know, they you know, they're up 14-3 and just couldn't maintain there for 4 or 5 minutes, and you know, and then give up the long punt return.
Yeah, that was painful. So that's special teams, but on the other hand, they do have one of the most reliable kickers in the NFL. I mean, Robbie Gould has made 33 in a row, and you look on the other side, the Chargers, they've got their kicker. He's missing extra points. Sturgis, he missed a field goal. He missed a couple of extra points. I mean, that's brutal.
Yeah. And I actually didn't check the waiver wire, but wouldn't be surprised if he was on it this week, unfortunately.
Kickers don't last long when that happens, right?
Yeah. No, they don't. But think about how many, how many teams have already made a change, at, you know, with their kicker. Minnesota.
Cleveland. yeah, there have been a few.
Seems like there was a third, but anyway. Yeah, you start missing extra points. You're not, unfortunately not going to be around very long.
No.
And we are very fortunate, to your point, that Robbie's he's terrific.
He is. He's consistent, and that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, exactly.
Another play that sticks in my mind from this game is that catch that Tyrell Williams made for the Chargers. I don't know if you remember that one, but he went over Jimmy Ward. It's just incredible that he caught that ball.
That was a great catch. Yeah. And I mean, we don't need the circus catches like that, but we need a few more in traffic.
Yeah, I think they have the players that are capable of that. Garcon can make those kind of catches.
Yeah, I agree. And again, back to, you know, just when we needed a play, we just didn't have it when we needed it.
So the Arizona Cardinals next, and they've been struggling. They have a rookie quarterback,
Josh Rosen,
that they just started. And you can imagine how nerve-wracking it is for some of these rookie quarterbacks. Some fare better than others, but now he has a game under his belt. But, you know, for C.J. Beathard, he's already gotten that out of the way, where he got the rookie jitters out of the way. So maybe that helps him as the Cardinals come in big game here for the 49ers to try to get going again.
It is a big game, and you know, one that they definitely have a good chance of winning. Not that they didn't last week. That would have been nice to get that Charger game, get a win there. But I would say they have to this week.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, in a schedule where you say, you know, must win, but when you look at the schedule going forward, because after that you're playing on Monday night at Green Bay. Good luck.
And then the
Rams, who might be the best team in the league right now, or one of the best, they're coming here. So those are two games in a row that are going to be really difficult.
Right. So that, yeah, in my mind, this is one they need to get.
Well, we look forward to talking about it with you next week, Steve. C.J. Beathard's probably going to join us next week, looks like, as well. So it'll be good to get his thoughts. Looking forward to next week, and hopefully the 49ers can pull one out against the Cardinals.
I hope so. I look forward to it.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. And as I said, C.J. Beathard is scheduled to join us next week after the 49ers game against the Cardinals. So join us next Tuesday. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.